Welcome to Konoha Crush, a clandestine effort to exhaustively research and document events occurring in and around the village hidden in the leaves. I am Maria.
I'm Ginger.
Hello, hello, welcome back. We are here again. We have a whole fucking movie to talk about this week. Before that, is there anything you would like to say about like what you have been up to in this past week or so?
No, not really. I'm still mostly just on that new seasonal anime grind.
Yeah, watching all the isekai.
Watching all the isekai.
Or at least most of them. I don't know if you go for literally everyone. But
I try to hit play on at least all of them.
I know you, there was at least one you only made it about halfway through because I was there. And It did not seem very good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, usually on my own, I can make it through those the shows. Like, I would just finish it anyway. Uh-huh. But like the energy in a call is so much different. Like you process so much more vividly when you're like actively engaging with it and another person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense, right? There's like it's easy to just like fucking start fidgeting with something and like tune it out completely.
Mm-hmm.
Or did I say it was easier to? Whatever. You understand what I mean.
Yeah, and now everybody else does.
Yeah, I've been watching stuff also. I do not really have a thing where I'm like, yeah, here's the thing I want to give a take on, right? I'm just kind of like still feeling things out. I've been watching anime like still the season though, which is like a little bit of a change. Like mostly like this is because I have people to watch anime with, but you know, It does not hurt. I don't know. I don't really have anything else I want to talk about, right? It has been a week. I mean, there's been, like, less than a week, sort of, it feels like, just because of the, like, weird circumstances of your power dying in the middle of the recording.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it has technically been, like, fucking 5 days since the last time we recorded or whatever, which probably, like, adds to the, like, weird feeling of, like...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Regardless,
Naruto.
Naruto. Naruto's new movie that he made for us.
Naruto made us a brand new movie.
He really should not have.
Yeah, this one's about rocks instead of movies. Before we talk too much about it, do you think we should go ahead and get on into the summary? Naruto the Movie, Legend of the Stone of Galil. Oh no, a bunch of big armor mace zombie guys are attacking some sand shinobi. Good thing Gaara and Conker are there to help. The mace guys retreat into the ocean, and the sand shinobi chase after them, only to find a huge steampunk ship firing its cannons back at them. In the Land of Fire somewhere, Naruto and Sakura and Shikamaru are tracking down a lost ferret. They capture the little guy, but run into the same big mace guys as before. They fight them off when a regular-sized night guy shows up to fight Naruto. Naruto makes a bunch of clones, but the night guy has wind magic in his sword, and they clash with their big attacks, and both fall into a chasm. Sakura and Shikamaru see the huge steampunk ship they rode it on.
Okay, alright, so that was the first, like, 15 minutes or so of the movie, right? But before we get too deep into that, I'm going to give, like, a brief overview of the staff. So yeah, this movie is directed by Hirotsugu Kawasaki, who is like primarily like a like theatrical like animator and director, right? Like he has like animation credits dating back to like, you know, Laputa and Akira, and he like directed the Spriggan movie from the 90s. He directed this movie, and there's like one movie he made after this that I know very little about, but like has like a bunch of like shared animators or whatever. Again, I not the most in-depth overview that I can give into this guy. Just because like it was a lot of like, yeah, okay, I see like some of the big things he has worked on. I have not seen a lot of them, or like I do not know like what specifically his contribution to those was. So I am just going to it's kind of left it there, I guess. As usual, like character designs for this movie were handled by Tetsuya Nishio, who is also like, you know, one of the main character designers on the series. The lead on animation direction is done by him and Tatsuya Tomaru, who is like an animator who's also present on the last movie but has moved up to this role here. Another guy with a long history of like largely theatrically focused animation, but I guess we should get into the actual things that happen, right? I mean, you know, they
the knights go to war.
The knights are here. They're doing war. Yeah, we have our very like strong like here is the identity of this movie. There are fucking knights in it, and they're fighting ninjas, and it is badass when a knight fights a ninja, probably. right? I mean, I think a lot of this, like, initial scene is not, like, you know, like the very, like, opening up is, like, not that, like, it is, like, technically impressive, as we have a lot of, like, you know, very, like, complex layered shots of, like, here's all the knights and the ninjas fighting, but, like, I feel like it takes, like, a little bit into it to, like, really, like, get it to have that much of a sense of, like, clearly readable direction, right? But, like, you know, we get there. It is, like, pretty fun. There is, like, a sudden leap once, like, it switched to being Hidetsugu Ito's work, right? Where, like, suddenly there's, like, sudden, like, sharp and, like, how, like, intentional and, like, readable the action is, right? Like, you know, we go from, like again, impressive cuts of all the fucking, like, knights and ninjas, like, milling about and, like, fighting each other to, like, this really, like, snappy bit where, like, you know, there's like a one-on-one bit of, like, a knight fighting ninja and he's, like, getting, like, fucking smacked in the face with a big mace handle and shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a really, like, sharp, like, increase in, like, okay, things are happening now, things are happening, right? I found that, like, really striking how, like, you know, the movie could go from places like, yeah, okay, like, this is proficient to, like, oh, this is, like, kind of exciting, right? Like, you know, there is, just like, some cool shit happening, right? Like, you know, they've got, another, like, ninja guy, like, jumping in, like, fucking slamming a sword into the shoulder of the big knight guy, and he is, like, basically unfazed, right? And, like, oh, shit, something is wrong with these guys, right? You know, it starts to, like, really, like, sell the, like, the particulars of the scene, like, a fairly fun way, right? And it, you know, eventually scales up to be like, hey, we have guys we actually recognize in this scene, right? Fucking Kankuro and Gaara are here. I mean, Kankuro shows up first, right? Like, one of the guys that gets, like, thrown around is actually Kankuro's puppet. And he, like, just fucking pulls a big knight guy into, like, fucking Black Anna and just, like, gets minced.
Yeah!
Like, that guy, the puppet is, like, so much smaller than the big knight guy, but it does not fucking matter. Shit goes in there and does not come out. That is really the fucking, like, philosophy of that specific puppet in this movie, which, like, does not come up much, but, like, you know.
It's so good.
It is pretty good.
You know, I gotta say,
not
impressed with the knight guys here.
No, the knight guys never really seem like they are, like, particularly capable, right?
Yeah. Or good or cool, right? Like,
yeah, I feel like there is a scene, like, later in this movie where Shikamaru is like, yeah, these knight guys are so easy to beat up, so, like, you know, like,
right, like, okay, like, I get having, like, a new jobber to fucking, like, beat up, right? Because it's always fun in big fights to have, like, a bunch of guys that you're beating up.
Yeah, and I also get the, like, sense of, like, oh, yeah, they can, like, take a big hit, but they just keep fucking going, right? But it is, like, yeah, as soon as they come in contact with any guy who has, like, a name and a face that we know, it is, like, it is fucking over for these dudes.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not even that necessarily, right? It's that they look bad. It's that they look dumb. They're silly. They're goofy, big stuffing around guys with a fucking ball mace.
Yeah, the size of a huge fucking ball mace. They've got their, like, they got, like, snouts, kind of.
Yeah.
I think they are a little bit cute, honestly, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, okay, like, mostly I have a problem with the big, stupid ball mace, but, like...
Okay. Alright, that is the part that offends your sensibilities.
But it makes the rest of them look stupid, too.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely, like, a sense in this movie of, like, oh, the villains do not really know about, like, fighting ninjas, so I guess they're, like, big knight guys that they seem to be used to just, like, sending into places and having them fuck everything up, or, like, getting kind of, they're getting kind of cleaned out, right? You know, all the no-name, like, you know, sand guys are, like, they're having trouble, but Gaara shows up and he just immediately fucking...
Gaara's
bunches
them.
Them. Yeah, he just bunches them up and, like, fucking squishes them flat. There's, like, a really fun bit of, like, you know, just like, it's really, like, fun, like, snappy, like, alternating between, like, two different background paintings, like, all the sand fucking, like, flattened, and it just goes, like, boom, like, makes a big crater.
Yeah.
I don't know if that noise is good into the microphone, but, like, it is a...
It will be fine.
It will be fine. Yeah, a little bit sad that Tamari does not get to be involved.
Yeah, where the fuck was she?
I do not know.
She's off doing fucking girl stuff, I guess.
I guess, yeah. But yeah, so the tide has been turned. All of the like, no name, like, sand ninjas are, like, emboldened to, like, go off in their tiny shitty little boats that the, like, to, like investigate the ocean the knights are coming out of, and it was, like, you know, and then, like, Conqueror's like, hey, wait, do not run off in your, like, tiny shitty little boats in the middle of the night. That is dangerous. And we see the big fuck off ship, right? I think this is, like, kind of the second movie in a row where we have, like, oh, here are the villains who have their, like, big, like, super strong vehicles. I'm curious how much of, like, a recurring, like, you know, thing that is going to be throughout the movies, right? Because
I want the fucking Mad Max Naruto movie.
Fuck yes. I remember there being like a bunch of cars in the third one, but I do not know if there are like car-based fight scenes.
If we're just making, if we're just like making up places for Naruto movies to go, right? Like, I think like a huge cool post-apocalypse with like a with like cars and shit would be fucking badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess like, you know, if you're just going to get like the movie guys to like come in here, like maybe they don't have like the strongest attachment to like Naruto specifically, but they would be like, hey, it would be cool if I put a big fucking machine in this movie, and you know,
yeah.
Broadly speaking, I guess they are, right? You know, it is fun when they, like, illuminate over the ocean and see the big ship, and it is, like, you know, oh, shit, it has Canada's firing, and, like, you know, we don't really, like, think about what happens after that until later in the movie. And we find out that it's not particularly impressive. But, you know, that is not important right now. What is important is that, you know, our friends Naruto and Sakura and Shikamaru, right? They're having, like, a classic, like, the guys need to be doing something at the start of the story, like, go find an animal mission.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're too old to be being sent on those missions, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe this is, like, a bigger deal one. You know, they have to go, like, really far out of the village for it. They have to go, like...
Maybe. I mean, it makes... Like, they did have to leave the village.
Right, like, they had to go off to, like... some undefined location, maybe in the, like probably in Landfire, broadly, right?
Yeah.
Like it definitely feels like very stock. I mean, I guess the animal they're finding is like important to the plot of the movie, so like, you know, mm-hmm. they've done a little bit to integrate it, but like, you know, like when I was like sitting down to watch this, I was like, you know, watching Naruto go on like the funny animal finding mission, and he is getting kind of owned by the animal. I was a little concerned, like how much does this like movie have like a particular understanding of like what makes Naruto as a character fun? Because you know it is very like in those first few minutes, it feels very like, oh, you could have watched the first few episodes and then just been like, okay, I get it. He is like a dumb guy, and then moved on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it, like, if there is anything I can say for this movie, I think that, like, for at least parts of it, that, like, that is not true. For at least parts of it, like, there's a pretty, like, strong sense of, like, hey, Naruto is, like, a fun guy to have in scenes. That is, like, you know, but,
Yeah, absolutely.
Initially, I was a little worried, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, like, a pretty fun sequence where, like, you know, the little ferret they're looking for is, like... You know, like walking past all of these different, like, elaborate traps that are, like, drawn on, like, the cell layer, so you do not know what it specifically is going to, like, interact with until he just, like, winds up running into, like, the very basic, like, here is a box, like, propped up under a stick thing. I think that is kind of, like, a cute touch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they get the animal. They are, they're going to go to the village where we're supposed to drop it off, and, like, you know, along the way they see, like... This is some shit they feel like they have to investigate, you know, like while they're on the way out of, like, we got the animal part, like, there's a scene by an animator named Nobutoshi Ogura that I really like, where everything just gets, like, a lot, like, looser and sillier. We have just, like, some really, like, fun, like, kind of goofy walk cycles. There's just, like, you know, just, like a pretty solid sense of, like, comedic pacing, which, like, elevates some fairly rote jokes. Nobutoshi Ogura is, like, an animator who, like, you know, like, has a career going all over the place, right? You know, a lot of early credits back on, like, the Goldfish Warning through, like, Sailor Moon, like, you know, pipeline of, like, Toei production stuff. You know, moving into a lot of, like, Gainax and, like, Gonzo and production IG stuff in, like, the early 2000s. And then, like, more recently he's been working on a lot of, like, Trigger shows. But, like, you know, I think there's, like, a lineage of, like, really fun, like, snappy, like, comedic animation that, like, kind of, this kind of calls on that I found, like, very charming, right? Like, there's, you know, like, there's, like, a bit I like where, like, Sakura just, like, you know, she is doing her, like, punching Naruto for saying something kind of dumb bit. And, like, it, again, like, very stock, but, like, the way that Naruto just, like, fucking plummets out of the frame and is, like, you know, his headband kind of, like, flows up and drops after a minute. It's, like, you know, it is just nicely executed enough in a way. Enough to make the, like, fairly rote material, like, feel like it is worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they like, see, like, smoke ominously rising from, like, the village they're supposed to go to. They're going to, like, go investigate or whatever. And before they get there, they're attacked by knights. Oh shit. Yeah, I mean, you know, we get like a little bit of like, hey, everybody gets to show off a little here in this like early action scene thing. You know, Sakura is like back to being like a knives and explosions girl a little bit, like she was in the previous movie. She just like blows one of these guys the fuck up with like a single paper tag.
Yeah, badass.
Badass. Like there's just nothing left of that guy but his big stupid ball mace. Like a little bit, like a little, like a few like chunks of debris that go fluttering down. And like I think a lot of the particulars of like this like action here also are like really fun, right? Like you have like I mean we talk about Sakura's knife tricks. We have like Naruto like doing one of like the fucking best looking Uzumaki barrages ever, where there's just like this you know, like these kind of like whirling, like vaguely disorienting camera movements, like heightened sense of like, oh yeah, this fucking like child is coming at this big knife from all angles and he's kicking into the sky, and there's like this fun sense of like, you know, Naruto doing his punches is like denting the armor before the guy just gets like fucking cratered into the ground and has his like limbs like flayed out in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just like sold really well. Like this scene is Masahiro Sato. The like biggest like through line I have in terms of like his career is that he works a lot with like Masahiro Ando, who is like who's like a director who's like pretty renowned for like his action stuff. You know, he directed the Sword of the Stranger movie. He did like Series of the Jaeger a few years back, and like Masahiro Sato was like an action director on that. You know, like so he seems to be like one of the like, you know, more renowned like action directors in the industry. He's like one of his go-to guys. I can kind of see why, because the scene is like really fun, right?
Yeah.
There are a few times in the scene where I am like, hey, there is like a creature in that backpack Naruto is wearing, watch, right? He gets like fucking like slammed into the ground while wearing it.
Yeah. But, I was worried about the animal so much.
They basically just do not acknowledge the animal until they decide to acknowledge the animal again. Do not worry about all of these things that are
happening. The animal's fine. The animal's okay.
Like there's a bit like a little later where like Naruto's about to be caught in a big explosion and they have to like beg like go flying off his back earlier so the animal's not caught in the explosion, but it also like falls off a cliff, so like
yeah, don't worry about it.
The awareness of how much the like creature is there is like kind of wavering throughout this scene. They beat up the big night guys to give us our basic sense of like, yeah, here's our guys in this movie, they like here are the cool things they can do, you know. And they meet our fucking new mystery boy for this movie. He's like a normal kind of shitty looking night boy.
Yeah, he's just sort of a normal night guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that I think there are a few things like his introduction here that are like kind of fun, right? I love, like, you know, when he's like I think they sell the sort of like shithead confidence that he has here in the scene, for like, you know, like in the way he's like, you know, he like meets Naruto and he does this fucking dramatic like thumbs down thing at him, and he does not have like a fucking like guys he's ordering to attack Naruto in that moment. He's just being like a dick. He like, you know, he like kicks a bunch of Naruto clones away from him and they like lands and does like a little fucking twirl on the ground.
Yeah.
Like he seems pretty fun in these moments.
Yeah, this first interaction with him was like really fun, because for a little while, like even into like not for a while more, but like he doesn't say anything except for his big attack name, which is in English, and I thought there was going to be a fun language thing going on, but there's not a fun language thing going on.
No, it's just that like sometimes some of the night guys have like English attack names to like separate them from like ninjutsu, because they do not know what that is.
Yeah, no, I was just excited because that was the only thing he says for the first like 30 minutes he's on screen almost.
Yeah, like they play it like pretty close to their chest with him and just have him be like kind of like, you know, like you know, like expressive is maybe not the word, because he's very stiff in his like, I guess that is a way of being expressive, right? Like he's just like very stiff in his movements, but like a little bit of like a, you know, he's like a little bit like show off sometimes, right? It is a, you know, when they do not have like his dialogue to work with, I think he like comes through really clearly, honestly.
Yeah, when he starts talking,
you know, we will get into it.
Like, it's not his fault the movie gets worse, right?
No, I think that like that if I was going to like place the movie getting bad on like one character, it would be like, you know, we will talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like the other thing I want to say, like in the scene of like, you know, Naruto is encountering like the like night boys, like there's one where like Sakura gets captured and then like you know the camera kind of like drifts off because of like the big night guy that grabbed her, And then, like, the next time we see it, like, we learn, like, oh, Shikamaru has, like, shadow possession, grabbed it, and, like, made it, like, try to attack the Night Boy with its big base. Well, like, Shikamaru comes across really well in this movie, like, on the sheer basis of just being the guy who's, like, lurking around the edges of the scene to, like, surprise somebody with his jutsu. The one weird trick to make Shikamaru work is just have him be, like, off-screen until, like, it is time for him to reveal he was doing some shit.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's honestly perfect. Like, real Naruto should do that way more.
Honestly, yeah. Like, it is really fun. Like, basically every time it happens. Like, Shikamaru is pretty fun in this movie, I have to say. Like, part of this is he doesn't do any of his women-hating stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't talk that much, which is good. Like, most of his dialogue is, like, interrogating a guy, right?
Which is, like, you know, maybe disappointing if you are, like, one of the Shikamaru fans that wants to see him be, like, a misogynist all the time or whatever. Or, like, yeah, but, like, you know, I think, like, genuinely him being, like, the kind of, like, quiet guy who is, like, you know, maybe a little put upon by being here and, like, has his, like, fun tricks that he can do, like, while the spotlight is not on him is, like, it works really well.
Yeah, it works, like, it's like, honestly perfect.
But yeah, Naruto and the Night Boy have, like, a big, like, clash, and there's a big explosion, they fall off a cliff, you know, thereby, like, signposting him as a sort of rival, a sort of, like, replacement Sasuke for the duration of the film. You know, you need, like, like a cool boy for Naruto to be clashing with. So you need to have a guy who can, like, try and, like, go against the Rasengan, and then, you know. I mean, that is basically what I have to say about this part of the movie, if we want to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Naruto wakes up after being taken care of by a group of nomads. Luckily, they're the guys who want the ferret back, and unluckily, the night guy is also being taken care of by these same guys. Sakura and Shikamaru's got out the weird, steampunk guys, and we see a flashback of the night dude as a kid hiding in a ruined house getting ransacked. Naruto hangs out with the caravan some more and gets the story about their homeland. Naruto hangs out with the caravan some more and gets a story about how their homeland was destroyed in ancient times, and they've been nomads ever since. Naruto goes to bitch at the night guy, but he just deflects and says he's here to build a utopia, and wants to show his boss Naruto because this is his first time ever seeing someone use chakra. Naruto isn't cooperating, so night guy just gets his stuff to leave, but on the way out, he saves a kid from falling out of a tree. Shikamaru breaks into the steampunk ship, and finds a bunch of kids in tubes in a machine that pumps out biofreak mace guys.
So I think, like, you know, again, like, we have alluded broadly to, like, not feeling that positively about this movie, but I think it is, like, still working pretty well through, like, most of this part, right? Like, I think that Naruto being, like, with the group of nomads is, like, I don't know, like, I think a lot of those scenes, like, work pretty well. The old man that's there when he wakes up and, like, is, like, you know, kind of, like, being like a little bit of an exposition vehicle for the plot is, like, I feel like he is, like, you know, like, I feel like a lot of his scenes with Naruto are actually, like, pretty fun, like, in this first part, just because, like, I don't know, like, him being, like, this kind of, like Naruto having this kind of, like, goofy old man who is, like, you know, like basically, I just think the old man here, I think his name is Kahiko, he winds up being pretty fun for Naruto to bounce off of, just in terms of, like, I don't know, like, here's this old man who's, like, in this ostensibly, like, dignified leadership position, but, like, he will, like, you know, lower himself to Naruto's, like, position to, like, goof around a little bit, you know, and, like, tease him, and it is, like, you know, it's, like, while Naruto's, like, also bouncing off the fucking Night Boy, who is, like, this very, like, stiff, serious guy, right, like, it creates, like, a sort of, like, fun, like, I don't know, like in these scenes, like, the dynamic with, like, the movie original characters, like, winds up, like, working pretty well to me. I think it is just, like, it is carried by a lot of, like, characterful animation and stuff, but, like, I was, like, surprised how much fun I was having with a lot of these scenes.
Yeah.
It is fun when, like, you know, Naruto is, like, you know, like, you know, you just kind of, like alternate between, like, being kind of pissed that the fucking Night Boy is here and, like, wanting to, like, you know, be kind of, like, a cool show off for the people that he, like, you know, was here to, like, help find their ferret or whatever, right? And where he, like, when he's, like, bragging about how fast he heals and fucking the old man is like, yeah, actually the Night Boy is, like, healing pretty fast too, and he gets, like, kind of sulky about it.
Yeah.
like, it's just good stuff. Like, surprisingly. You know, we get the Night Boy's, like, flashback stuff. Should we just call him by, like, say his name? Like, I know it does not come up for a while in the movie.
Yeah,
I was thinking of saying Night Boy.
Yeah.
His name is Temujin. And, like, you know, we get his, like, flashback of, like, oh shit, like, he's in, like, a ruined village. Like, there's this, like, really, like, you know, dramatic stylized use of color, it just kind of you know, like a lot of like it's sort of like unclear, like disorienting framing, and then like he has this vision of like a big pope who like was nice to him, that when I saw this, I was like, okay, I mean, like, you know, I get what is going on here, you know, I feel like this is a scene that like basically tells you everything you need to know about this character's backstory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like basically everything is here. And I was like, wow, you know, that this is like fairly efficient. I sure hope we don't go back to this multiple times over the course of the movie.
Yay!
Because you have what you need, right? Like, you know, to talk about the broad structure of the movie, right? Like, you know, there's the fucking Pope man that he sees in this vision here, his last flashback here, right? And like he believes in that guy, but actually that guy was evil, and like, you know, he betrayed like his village, and like, you know, if you know like the design elements of that guy, you can like see like glimpses of him in terms of like the like mysterious scary guy that Temujin is hiding from in his flashback, right? It is like, you know,
mm-hmm.
again, like it gets everything across, and it's not like super complicated, but you know, like it works, right? Like I'm still like having like a more or less good time. The other thing I want to say about like I'm like ping ponging around a little bit, but the other thing I want to say about like the Nomad guys is I really love their like pink ostriches and their domesticated rhinos and stuff.
Yeah, I love all their animals.
The animals are fun. Like, I don't know, and you don't have like a ton more to say about that, but like, and it's just like, yeah, here's like a they just put fun visuals in here sometimes, and that's. What more could you want from the big Naruto movie? Just seeing some stuff that is fun to look at.
Yeah, they're writing some like big gazelle things too, right? And they had and they had like the wrapping at the end of their horns to not poke anybody, and I thought that detail was cute.
There's a bunch of little stuff to like make this like, you know, setting that Naruto's in briefly like feel like pretty like visually realized. But yeah, like, you know, we move forward to like the next day, you know, Naruto and like Temujin and like everybody, like they're on the move with like the nomads, like caravan, right? You know, they're just kind of like, you know, moving through the environment, you know, towards their next goal. Fucking Kahiko is like giving a little more exposition, right? And you know, like this is one of those moments where, like I feel like the cracks are like vaguely starting to show, because like he is talking about like he's talking about like the like, you know, the history of this nomadic group, and how like, oh yeah, we used to have like a country, but it was destroyed, and like some of us went away across the sea. Like you can just see like all of like all of the shape that this movie's plot is going to take, and like all of the ways that it's going to be like kind of dumb, like sort of like spreading out in front of you, but like it is trying to like hold things together a little bit in this moment. I think there's a lot of like fun stuff, like, you know, the way that Naruto is hearing about this, and he's just kind of like incredulous about it, and he's just kind of like, okay, well, fucking whatever, old man, like you're just fucking with me, that ferret is not older than you, that is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could just see that, like the fucking like shape of like, oh yeah, these guys have like a fucking like ancient divine royal bloodline or whatever that's going to be important to this movie, like in the absence of like what is like not being said about the past, like form, I feel like, right? Like it is like it at no point feels like, oh, this movie is not going to be like kind of a mess, but like, you know, again, this scene at least is like fairly fun. Like, you know, Naruto is like going to like go and talk to the fucking like mystery boy a little more, right? Like goes to talk to Temujin, and like Temujin has this thing like, oh shit, I've like, what is that power you have before? I've like never seen chakra before, which like,
okay,
I feel like raises some questions for me, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, what was your like okay about?
I just don't think that works. I just,
right. No, it is like a weird thing to establish about the world. It's like, okay, do people like only have chakra over here? Like, what is like, what, like, I just feel like when you're like, you know, making up stuff about the world of Naruto, it is like weird to establish it. Like, oh yeah, the parts of the world where like Naruto takes place, like has a bunch of like fucking super beings, and like everybody else is just
normal.
Like it puts this weird level of like, the guys in Naruto are like now like fantasy race guys with chakra.
Right. Like it makes them the like weird monks from across the ocean, right? Like,
yeah, I just do not understand why like that is like,
right, and establishing that like, oh, there is other fantastical stuff in the setting, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Like this, like, you know, the Stone of Galal or whatever is like a magic rock that gives you magic powers, and it's notably not chakra, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It is notably not chakra, but also the other thing is like it is also not really like from somewhere else.
Right.
Because, like, you know, the reason the villain, like, I'm fucking getting ahead of myself, but the reason the villains are here is they're looking for the big fucking, like, vein where all the fucking, like, Stone of Galal comes from, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it is just, like, yeah, here's the big continent where all the fucking, like, magic shit happens, and everybody else is just, like, being fucking normal and, like, making steampunk shit. Like, well, that's not normal, but, like, you know, it's just, like... Like, I just feel like if you're going to, like, oh, yeah, here, over here is, like, Night World, the Night should also have, like, fucking, like...
Like, they can call it something different.
Right, but they should still have, like, fucking, like, you know, essentially, like, night jutsus and shit, right? Like,
yeah, it would be cool, well, because, like, obviously we don't know yet, but, like, you know, like, samurais are a thing that is, like, people who use chakra in ways that ninjas don't, right? Like,
yeah.
It would be a lot of fun if, like, we introduced, like, someone, like, another culture from, like, far away that was just like, okay, and, like, here's how they do it, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, if like Naruto like talked about using chakra and fucking Temujin was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That is called like, I do not know what the fucking night.
Well, I mean, they would call it mana, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, oh, you mean mana?
Right. Yeah.
Right. We get their diagram, and it's like similarly like, you know, like a system of it like flowing throughout the body, but like the iconography of all of it is like way different. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. It would be like. Again, it would introduce way less friction than like the specific like the weird way this movie goes about it. I'm thinking about this. And I'm trying not to like spiral off into like broader discussions about like stuff about the movie we have not talked about yet in terms of, like the like whole thematic shape of it. But yeah. Like, I guess like hopefully like I want to like put a pin in this, like hopefully come back to it, or like maybe we just talk about it now. I'm not sure. Right?
We can just talk about it now. Who gives a fuck?
Okay. Right. Like because like the whole fucking thing is like, oh yeah, the villains want the like the fucking like Stone of Galal because there's this big power that can like, you know, do like fucking anything or whatever. Right. Kind of vaguely defined. And so, like, for the construction of, like, the villain's goal of, like, trying to, like, fucking gather all of this up so they can, like, you know, fucking control the world and, like, you know, keep, you know, like, it is weird to make a movie about, like, the big, like, mysterious, like, superhuman power that, like, needs to be, like, sealed away and, like, maybe destroyed because it is, like, too powerful for everybody to have in the setting where, like, also, like, in this movie where, like, you know, like in the setting where like broadly like a bunch of guys just normally have like super strong magical powers that can do fucking whatever, and also this movie is like establishing that like, but also people in the rest of the world that like Naruto doesn't take place in don't have that.
Why don't they just have it too?
I do not know. I'm not sure how much sense I am making, but like it's just like. Like, it is weird to make a movie that's ultimately going to be about, like, oh, we have to, like, seal away this dangerous power so nobody can have it, when a lot of guys just have, like, a separate dangerous power that seems to be, like, equivalent in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Also, I figured out the, like, the alternate chakra system for the knights. I figured out how mana works.
Okay. How does it work?
So their thing is that they're, like, focused on, like, martial combat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, obviously they experience the ways in which chakra just kind of naturally makes you better at that kind of thing. Makes you able to be, like, stronger and, like, you know, normal stuff. Normal body chakra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, but the other big thing that chakra does in their tradition is... They don't have, like, individual spells or, like, you know, things that they do, necessarily. But what they do have is magic items that they can use chakra on to, like, activate an effect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that specific bit of weirdness aside that we got, like, pretty, like, Durell. Like, I think, again, still, like, when Naruto goes to talk to Temujin here, I think it is, like, kind of fun. It says that this guy is, like... Oh yeah, Naruto. Like I see you have this power I've never seen. You should come with me. You should work with me. Like my the grand ambition I'm supporting, right? Like he's just this very like, you know, like you get this kind of sense. Like, hey, here's this like serious, like very, very like straight-laced serious kid who's like a little bit over his head, right? I think it is like kind of when he's like, oh shit, like maybe you could help like the fucking beautiful dream I'm trying to like envision on this earth, right? Like, you know, like in this moment at least, like this is like a scene where, yeah, I think that like this is a. These are like fun character beats still. I'm like still enjoying like the new guys they made up for this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, meanwhile, like Shikamaru like sends Sakura off to go do like fucking whatever else and like goes to like sneak around the big steampunk ship. And you know, I think generally like the environmental stuff is here, like it's like fun, right? Like I like you know just having like the ninja guy being like this big fucking like mess of machinery and like here's the weird child tube room, right? Like, you know, I think it is like visually like, you know, kind of like a distinct space to be putting the characters in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like a little unclear about like some of the mechanics about the child tube room, but like,
yeah, like, is it like an Avatar situation?
Yeah, I do not know, right? Because like,
I think it's supposed to be like an Avatar situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like mentally like mind linked to one of the mace guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, this seems to make sense, but also like fucking Temujin is like, oh yeah, the mace guys are not my friends. My real friends are, and he like trails off. Like this is like seeming like slightly beyond what we were talking about here.
Uh-huh.
But like, you know, like he does not think of them as like the people who are stuck in the tubes, but also like later there's a scene where they like take a big hit and you see the like souls of the guys drifting out and just like unclear like how, like are they hurt by this or are they just like,
yeah, like do they just wake up in the tube after that or,
and like do they make like a new like lump guy?
Or is it more of like a die in the game, you die in real life situation?
Right, yeah.
Like the world's like fucking worst isekai.
Reincarnated in the same world as a fucking lump knight.
Reincarnated in the same room as a lump knight. I mean, is that all there's really to say about this?
Yeah, yeah.
This part, you ready to move on?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Night Guy left, but so did the Ferret, so the Caravan Elder Guy has Naruto run after them. When he catches up, Night Guy introduces himself as Temujin, and takes Naruto to go meet his boss, a sort of pope named Haido. He talks to Naruto about building a utopia, and explains their homeland as a sort of medieval fantasy steampunk place with lots of wars. He asks Naruto to join them, but Naruto refuses, wanting to stick around the Leaf so he can be Hokage and save Sasuke and stuff. Haido learns about the caravan where the ferret is from and starts acting weird about it. Then they learn about the boat by Gaara's house that got Gaara'd. Temujin and Naruto run off to go check it out. They find the broken boat's broken child tube room, and Naruto stops trusting this guy immediately. Then Konkoro shows up and explains to Naruto that the boat was fucking up the sand. Two night ladies and Gaara show up, and there's a big fight where Konkoro gets in a weird illusion by a vampire girl, and Gaara fucks up an electric lady Frankenstein.
Okay. So I think that the problems of this movie, to me, start to become really apparent when, like, Temujin takes Naruto to meet Haido, because you see this guy and you're like, you know, this is the most suspicious man in the world. This is the villain of this movie. He is not very cool or compelling. Like, they do not fucking have it with this guy.
Like, yeah, right. Like, Temujin, like, literally might as well have gone up to Naruto and be like, hey, let's go be my boss. And he was just like a cackling evil wizard shooting lasers out of skulls.
Right. Like, you know, like, Temujin's like, Naruto, you have to, like, show your, like, yeah, you have to, like, show your power to my boss, and he, like, immediately starts attacking him with the sword rather than, like, you know, asking Naruto how you might, like, demonstrate it to his boss, because he's, like, kind of, like, a maladjusted weirdo. This is, like, kind of a fun beat for Temujin, but then, like, Haido walks up and he's like, you should not fight, fighting is bad, and it's like...
It's like, fucking okay?
Fucking okay, right? Like, I just feel like... If you are going to have your, like, villain guy who is, like, you know, he professes these, like, grand ideals, but he does not really believe in them or whatever, right? And, like, you know, he has been, like, misleading and using, like, this fucking knight boy. I think when he shows up on screen, the first thing he says should not be something he already, like, demonstrably does not believe.
Yeah.
There's no, like, room to be, like, have any fucking, like, questions or doubts about this guy, or, like, because he is just, like, immediately the fucking, like, lying through his teeth about what his, like, goals and, like, motivations are, right? There's, like, plausible deniability about his, like, utopia shit being genuine, right? But also, like, the things he professes are, like, fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he has no, like, actual, like, vision that's, like, presented to the character. He's like, it would be really great if there was not any war. Everybody was happy. And then that is, like, the full extent of, like, any ideology he presents, like...
Yeah, right? Like, it would be cool if there were no wars. That's why we're driving around in this boat making sure there's no war. Like, okay.
It'd be cool if there was no wars. That was, like, I think violence is bad. That is why I have showed up in this part of the world and just, like, had my knights, like, start beating people up on the off chance they might know something about a rock somewhere. This is, like, that is the thing that we know he has done already in the movie.
Yeah.
There's no question of him being, like, a guy who is, like, being, like, overly pragmatic or, like, harsh in the pursuit of his dream. He's just a guy who believes something, like, extremely, like, paper thin and, like...
Okay, but, like, I don't think he actually believes it, though. Or, like, that...
Right. Like, he like, presents, like, an idea of, like, something extremely paper thin, right? Like, that is more accurate. Like, cause, no, he's not fucking believe. But like, the fact that, like, people are, like, being taken in by this when he is saying fucking nothing is, like, so, like...
Yeah. I mean, okay, to be fair, I'm pretty sure it's only Temujin.
It is not only Temujin, because all of those fucking people are getting into the paws of their own volition to become, right, like, lump knights to fight for him. Because of his grand vision of, like, I think it would be cool if people were nice to each other. And now do anything I say in pursuit of the, like, vaguely outlined fucking...
Also, to be fair, they were indoctrinated as children.
Yeah, I guess.
I think the night ladies know what they're doing, is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But, like, even with, like, things like, oh, yeah, like, these people were indoctrinated as children, there's just not enough, like, here to, like there's no, like, convincing facade. There's no, like...
Yeah, there's no one... Right? Like, it's just not good.
He starts off at, like, a solid, this guy is fucking boring to me, and, like, you know...
That's not where you want your guy to be.
No. Like, a guy who is, like... even if it was possible for anybody watching this movie to be genuine, to believe he was genuine, he would not be interesting if he was genuine. And, like, the way that he is, like, fake are also not interesting.
Yeah.
But, Naruto declines to join him, and he's like, yeah, I have to go be the Hokage. And fucking Haido's like, okay, well, you should promise me that, like, you go be the best Hokage you can be, and I'll go be the best evil Pope I can be, and then we can work together to make the world good. And Naruto's like, that sounds great, man. And then but then he hears about some shit that's going on, and he has to, like, run off to investigate it. You know, Naruto runs off to the, like, you know, the Land of Wind to see where the, like, to see where, like, the fucked up ship is. He, like, runs into it, like, he sees the fucking, like, wreckage of the tubes where there's, like, fucking dead children lying around and, like, amidst, like, shattered glass, right?
And, yeah.
And Naruto is like, hey, Temujin, I thought these guys were, like, supposed to be your friends or whatever. And Temujin's like, no, it is okay, they wanted to do that. They like this, actually. Which is just, like... It is this level of, like, laying bare the, like... I just feel like once you get to, like, child corpses...
Yeah, once you had child corpses, it's just like, okay.
Like that, it is so weird, like, this, like fucking, like, the arc of, like, Temujin's, like, disillusionment with his, like, boss is, like, the, like, point A is, like, dead children that he used to know.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking, like, lying around discarded, like, fucking debris in the ruins of this, like, fucked up battleship. Like,
right, and it's like, it's not even that he sees that and is horrified and expects his boss to be horrified about it, too. He's just like, no, that's okay, actually.
Yeah, they wanted this to happen. They like this. This is enrichment.
Right.
Right, because, yeah, this is, like, point A of this, like, disillusionment. This is, like, point of him being like, oh, I am fine with this, which is like if this is where we are starting, then like it just swings too far in this direction, right? Like it is just
like at the very least he should think that fucking Haido is a cool guy, right? Like if they were just keeping it away from like him specifically, how like fucked up a lot of the stuff that was going on was going on, right? Like that would be anything.
But instead he is just like fucking like totally fine with like the most obvious like this is fucked up imagery that the movie could like possibly put in his path. And like Naruto's like yelling at him more. Fucking Conqueror like swings in to like try and like slice him up with a puppet. But he throws it off. Naruto's like, hey Conqueror, fuck off. I'm gonna beat up this guy. Conqueror's like, that's not how this works. Stop being stupid.
Yeah, but luckily he's not the only enemy. And also Gaara is here.
Yeah, two of the Night Girls show up so everybody can, like, break off into their fights. You know, Naruto can kind of, like, aimlessly yell with Temujin off in the corner somewhere while, like, Conqueror gets up to his shit where he, like, fights, like, a... Like, I guess it is, like he thinks it is Genjutsu, but, like, it's actually not Genjutsu because they do not, like, know what, like, Chakra Ninjutsu over there is. And, like, it seems to work differently because he can, like, substitute his, like, puppet in for him in the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he does get sent to, like, a fucking... Like... I do love that, like, the fucking, like, Night Lady's, like, illusion technique is being like, oh, yeah, you're going to hell for getting in the way of her beautiful vision, and everybody, like, fucking hates you for wanting to stop, everybody in hell hates you for wanting to stop us from, like, conquering the world. You fucking asshole. I think a lot of the, like, visuals of, like, the fucking, like, conquer hell vision are, like, fun stuff, you know, like, the colors get weird. I like that she keeps like putting her face all static like in front of him, like all static and big in front of him to like try to freak him out. But I think the real like star of the sequence, the real highlight of the sequence is like fucking is like Gaara's fight here, where he's fighting like the Electric Lady. Just like a lot of like the most fun animation in like the movie is here. I feel like. Like, you know, there's just, like, room for a lot of, like, cool, like, effects work, right? You know, you've got, like, Gaara, like, trying to, like, build those, like, sand shields that are, like, really, like, you know, on, like, a movie production scale. So, like, they're just, you know, they drew the hell out of all that sand. And, like, they also drew the hell out of that lightning that was, like, bouncing off of it. And, like, just, like, fucking,
yeah,
you know, like I cast things, like, there's, like, some really great, like, effects work from, like, Hirofumi Masuda here, who's, like, an animator who, like, you know, judging by like his credit seems like a fairly like, you know, this is like a proficient like freelance guy who shows up on a lot of stuff, you know, like not just movies but like, you know, very much like television and like big OVAs and like, you know, also movie, like he's like pretty consistently around for a lot of the Naruto movies. Like he was around in the last one, but like he did not have like a scene as like you know, exciting to be as this like big like fucking lightning and sand clash here, which has a lot of like fun stuff in there. You have like you have like Masaaki Endo's scene here. Masaaki Endo is an animator who's like on the previous movie. He did like a lot of the action, like the part where like, you know, the like Naruto and friends like first encounter the big villains of the movie. But here's just like some really like sick stuff where like, you know, the lightning girl like fucking like renders a lot of like Gaara's like sand seal to kind of like stiff and brittle enough like a big lightning blast to, like just fucking do a bunch of flips and like slam down through it, and like Gaara tries to like sand burial her, but it's getting all like fucked up and like exploded by the lightning. Pretty sick. We have another scene by Takeshi Honda, who like did my favorite scene in that first movie. Like that one scene in the bar where like everything just like moves fucking crazy. Which is like, which has like maybe my favorite cut in this movie, where like you know, the girl's like starting to go like monster mode, and, like half her face is kind of like fucked up, and she like turns away to like have just the like her like normal half of her face like facing the camera, and then they just fucking like twist and like face like stretches with it like across the frame to like snap back until she has like a full monster face. I'm explaining it poorly, but it is so fucking sick.
Yeah, it looks great.
And just like in general, like it is fun to like, you know, have like ninjas doing this like big explosive fight in like this like, you know, industrial looking wreckage, right? Like it just looks cool. And like obviously I love to see Gaara doing cool shit, so like, hey, that works pretty good for me.
Yeah.
And all of that, eventually Gaara fucking like squishes the girl, the like vampire girl like fucking flies off. She gets away. Kakarot's kinda pissed, but like, you know. When I sat down to watch this, like, you know, for this podcast, I was like, okay, I've seen this movie before. I remember it being like pretty boring, and like, you know, up until this point, like the cracks were starting to show, but I was having like a pretty good time, and like I got to the end of the like Gaara fight here, and I was like, oh no, wait, I have seen like all of the like almost all of the big animation bits I remember liking from this movie. I've seen like all of the things that I like, remember thinking were fun. We have 50 minutes of movie left.
Yep. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
All right. Well, you ready to press on? You ready to experience those next 50 minutes of movie?
What other choice do we have?
Shikamaru intercepts a wolf girl fucking up the caravan. She does Hallie's to break out of the shadow possession and runs off. Shikamaru asks the caravan guy about the Stone of Galel, some shit the night people were talking about. The guy doesn't answer, but begs for their help when he hears them worrying about Naruto. Temujin gets word that the caravan knew about the stone, and feels like a dumbass about it, so he goes to check it out and gets grabbed by Shikamaru and interrogated by Naruto and the gang. The caravan guy says they're playing with something too dangerous to handle, but Temujin is devoted to his cause. Caravan guy explains that only the royal family of their destroyed homeland can take the stones into their body and use them, and goes into the history of the stone, emphasizing that it is bad news and not to be fucked around with. Temujin is convinced Hido will use it right, though, and wants to fight for that cause. He takes the old man and a kid hostage to find the mines. The gang use the ferret to follow them, and everyone convenes at the place or whatever.
So yeah, I guess, like, in spite of the length of this, like, section of the summary, like, I do not have a ton of individual points I want to, like, touch on, right? Like, I mean, a lot mm-hmm. of the events of this part of the movie are just covered by the part where you said the things that happened in this movie. But, like, you know, we get, like, a little bit more of, like the exact thing that, like, when I was, like, taking my notes, like, oh, I hope we do not get more, like, Temujin flashback stuff. We then get more, and it's, like, again, it adds, like, basically nothing, right? Like, it is just, like... Again, like, we get no greater sense of, like, the shape of the idea that was, like, sold to him, right? Like,
No way.
We get, like, you know... We get, like, one of the kids about to go into the fucking tube and be like, wow, this is the best thing I can do, so I'm going to go into the tube now to, like, fucking, I guess, like, justify, his belief that, like, going into a tube forever is good to, like, control a fucking, like, lumpenite that goes around and attacks people for various, often vaguely defined reasons.
I'm gonna give it my whole life to become a lumpenite jobber. Bye!
This
is good. This is good to do.
This is good to do. It's just like, you know, we get like the people who judge you like, oh yeah, Temujin, you're like so special and strong because you can put a rock in you that makes you like extra powerful, and he is like, you know, about to be given reason to like think more about like how maybe he there's reasons that he's extra strong and powerful and special or whatever, right? It is all just like, and like it is this flashback scene that is basically just like, it feels like wholly redundant.
Yeah.
You know, he goes back to the caravan, you know, he gets captured by Shikamaru, and they have him like tied up and interrogated, and like Kahiko, the caravan guy, like, you know, does a bunch of explaining about like the royal family and like the fucking, you know, the fucking like the magical stones and stuff, right? Like we get like you know, as like, as Kahiko is like going into like this whole thing about like, yeah, you know, we used to be this like super like prosperous like civilization thanks to the power of the Stone of Galel, right? Like, but then we were like eventually like driven by that power to like war, and like we like let ourselves to our own collapse. We get these like kind of like tapestry style illustrations of like, I feel like we have to talk about the specific imagery that is being called upon here, right?
Yeah, so just to lay it out there, this movie is about some fantasy European knights that are like descended from fucking like an ancient kingdom of like Mesoamerican people, right? Like, it's weird,
right? Yeah, like there's definitely a sense of like, oh, you see all of the people, and like again, like drawing heavily from like, you know, like in all of these like images, like drawing heavily from like Mesoamerican, like, you know, visuals and stuff, like you see like all of these people who have like skin tones that nobody in this fucking movie does. You have this like, I think it is like a like, regardless of like how much thought was put into this, I think it is like a very loaded thing to suggest that like You're like be pulling from that imagery to, and then like talk about like a civilization that fell apart all on its own with no external factors.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, it just is not really the vibes you want.
And then also have their like direct successors white people.
Right. Yeah.
It's really, really good. It's really good for them to do, huh?
Their fucking blonde-haired special like royal boy that they have all their hopes resting on to like
cool
destroy like the last remnants of their country. Like I feel like there's so much like just like aesthetic mishmash in this movie that I feel like I feel like it would be straining to like suggest like a specific. Like, any specific malice here, right? Like, it's just, like, kind of thoughtless and, like, does not look good if you think about it.
Yeah.
Not good. But anyway, Temujin is, like, not really convinced by any of this. He's like, yeah, I basically just need to see the evil Pope say that he is evil to me to be convinced to do anything different, so I'm gonna go kidnap this old man and a child and run off. Mm-hmm. You know. He needs to, like, set up the impetus for the final act where everybody goes to, like, the same place to, like, meet up and do their fights and everything. And yeah. I guess we can basically move on to that next section if you're ready.
Yep. Shikamaru stops Haido and asks what the fuck he's up to with the rocks, but he's just kind of on his horseshit utopia stuff. Naruto thinks he's a bitch, and the caravan guy takes Temujin down the mine with an elevator to destroy the stone. Haido goes after them and leaves the two night women to stop the kids, but Shikamaru and Sakura hold them off, for Naruto to go on ahead. Sakura takes on the wolf girl and gets her with a big resonating wind charm situation, and Shikamaru gets the vampire girl with a web of fake paper bombs and some help from Konkoro to catch her in his puppet and cut her up. The caravan guy gets some Temujin blood to activate a big ritual that destroys the mine, but gets stopped when Haido shows up with the Stone of Galel that shoots blasts. The caravan guy accuses him of destroying Temujin's village to get the Stone of Galel, and Temujin finally realizes that he was a bad pope and stops him from blasting the old man. Naruto shows up, and Haido confesses to killing Temujin's parents, and then transforms into a kind of explosion Dracula and yanks a power crystal out of Temujin's chest.
Right, so yeah, everybody's down in, like, the big zone where they're going to have the final fight. They're down in the fucking tunnels or whatever. Shikamaru, like, grabs fucking Haido with his, like, shadow possession to, like, be like, hey, what the fuck is going on? Like, Haido, of course, says fucking nothing of note. The only thing I really want to, like, touch on in this specific exchange is I think it's very funny that, like, when Naruto's getting mad at them, he's like, hey, kid, but you, like, you promised that you're going to become, like, a Hokage and you're going to help me out. Naruto's like, well, you're doing only things that suck, so I'm not going to do that. And you're like, okay, well, fuck. I guess that was worth a shot. Haido basically only knows how to work with the most gullible children in the universe.
Yeah.
Kaihiko grabs Temujin to get on the elevator. They fucking, like, shoot down into the earth and it, like, closes up behind them. Naruto's, like, going to, like, try, like, to talk to Haido, and Haido just fucking, like, punches him into a wall and, like, punches down to the ground to, like, jump down a fucking hole. You know, meanwhile, everybody else is kind of like squaring up for like, okay, we have like two guys we know from the main cast of Naruto and like two evil ladies still, so they're kind of like, you know, we all know how these movies work.
Yeah.
Kaihiko and Temujin like arrive down in like the big like CG room where the like climax of the movie is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
It does not look very good. I feel like, it's weird, right? Because like, previously, like, I have talked about, like, how, like, when we talk about, like, the Rock Lee and Gaara fight, there's the Toshikisuru there episode there that has, like, the CG room, and, like, that is, like, the CG in that room is, like, immediately dated, right? Like, there's a lot of, like, it is not, like, particularly pretty, but, like,
yeah.
But it is, like, generally used to create, like, a clear, like, sense of, like, this is the layout of the space, this is, like, how people are, like, moving around it, like, right, like, it is used consistently to, like, you immediately have a sense of like what this like location is and like how it is like shaped, right? And like,
yeah, this room's like a big weird dome with like the floors all move.
Yeah, and there is like a bunch of like fucking like arches and shit, and like all this like weird wavy detailing on the floor, and like there is like no sense of like.
Right, like, it is, like, a too complex thing to get, like, a good sense of, like, grounding
mm-hmm.
in the first place. Yeah. So it's just like, okay, but like, what if they just drew it and it didn't matter instead of having the like big ugly 3D room?
Like, yeah, right, and like occasionally you get scenes where like the camera moves in like a kind of dynamic way, but like also a lot of times you get scenes where like they are trying to like push like an angle that like does not quite work with the like CG they have here. And like, so you have like this, like scenes where like the scale seems like kind of fucked up, or like the characters like moving like kind of weird way across the scene. It does not really match the like CG environment. And like, you know, it is just like, in terms of like the fidelity of the CG here, like I guess I can tell that it is like 2 years since that like Rock Lee and Gaara episode, but in terms of how it is used, it just feels like a step back in a lot of ways, right? Like it just feels like there's like so much like less consideration to like what this was for and like what, I don't know, like what they needed to do to like make it work. The other thing in the scene where like it is just like Temujin and Kahiko in here is like they walk up to like this big like you know we see all of the like various like images from like the exposition scene earlier, but there's also like one that is like a big black rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was like I felt like I was like fundamentally missing something in this scene where Kahiko is talking like very seriously, like, "Guy, this is like an image of despair. It is like it is depicting like the terrible things that like the power of Galel will like, you know, bring upon the world if it is not like destroyed or whatever." And there is just, it is just like a blank black rectangle. It's like, was there like a rendering error when they made this big CG room? Like what happened here? Like they like circle back around to it. There's just like some other shit that is like, they're having like this big interpretive debate about like the absence of imagery in a way that I was like,
like, are you okay?
Are you like, you know, not to be like a, you know, like,
uh-huh. No, I get it.
It just made me feel like I was like missing a step when characters like, oh yeah, this is like the terrible devastation. It was like, actually, this like depicts like what the power does not have to be what you think it does, and it is like, it is just like a weird beat that is like used to set up like a different weird beat later. And
yeah.
Anyway, we cut back up out of this room. Sakura and Shikamaru are up to their shit. Sakura again like gets like a pretty like a pretty tight looking fight with a bunch of like sick looking shit in it. You know, she is like fighting the werewolf girl. There's a
like, lucky there's an anti-werewolf girl chamber.
Right. But, like, you know, like the thing is that, like, everything leading up to that is, like, there's a lot of, like, extremely sick, like, Shinji Hashimoto animation where she has all of these, like, with all these, like, really, like, loose, like, flailing limbs and, like, crazy fabric animation. Just, like, Sakura's just, like, fucking, like, scrambling around trying to avoid getting, like, wolf howl blasted to death. That just looks, yeah, like, fucking cool. Right? Like, it's, like, again, yeah, like, maybe the coolest action cut in this movie, right? Like, or I can see in this movie is just, like, just feels like how like fucking like stylistic and distinct it is, and like and you know, like that then she like fucking gets her with the anti-wolf girl like fucking like chimes drop, right? But like, mm-hmm, you know, it works well enough, you know. Meanwhile, like Shikamaru is like fighting the back girl and she's like, haha, idiot, I can fly, can't get my shadow now. Shikamaru just fucking like throws a bunch of like ropes with like paper bomb tags on them, mm-hmm, and you know, like fucking like strategically leaves an opening for like Conqueror to like let the girl like fly back into fucking into his puppet and get like fucking sliced up and never come out.
It's so good. It's so good because like the puppet closes up and you see like the wingtip sticking out.
Yeah.
Sticking out still. And then it's like, and they go limp and it's like, ah, it's so good.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, like it's like a pretty cool like Shikamaru moment where like he like sees Conqueror from across the room and he's like, oh, okay, all right, I'm just gonna like set something up and hope this guy is like following up with me. And like, you know, there's just like a fun beat afterwards where like Kakuro is like, hey, are we gonna be good with all those bombs you put everywhere in the room? He's like, oh, don't worry, those are all fake.
Yeah, really good.
where the fuck is this Shikamaru anyway? Like, what
right,
the hell?
Where the fuck is this guy? He's so cool. Like, this, like, at the very least, this movie understands what's, like, cool and appealing about Shikamaru.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
They even got that he's gay.
Yeah, we go back down to like the like chamber below where like Naruto and Hayato and fucking Temujin Kaiko are all there now, right? And Hayato fucking sucks and is boring.
Yeah.
Right, like he like so much of his like
everything he says is just like obviously I'm the most evilest guy in the room. I'm gonna talk about peace though.
Yeah. And then like he has this fucking like turn where like fucking like Kaigo was like, yeah, you totally attacked Temujin's village and like kill him to take that fucking book and that rock. And like he like denies it for a little bit, then he was like, actually I did do that, and it was like cool and good for me to kill your family, Temujin, don't you agree? It's just like he's like, yeah, I fucking love being like an evil piece of shit who sucks, right? Like he just goes from like a fucking like guy who is like presenting like facetiously this fucking child's understanding of like what a good thing to do would be to being like a fucking child's understanding of like what a fucking evil fucked up guy would be, right? Like he's just
right.
He just does not really have a lot going on, and he spends so much time talking about how he's like an evil fucked up guy here. God. The thing I kind of can't believe I did not pick up on in this movie is like, okay, so like you know how his like three like night lady henchmen are like, they've got like they're like a Dracula, Frankenstein, and a werewolf. I did not realize there was supposed to be like a like there's supposed to be like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing going on.
Oh, is that the case?
Even though it was right until I was like looking at the like soundtrack stuff and I realized his like fucking like evil Pope church organs theme was called Mr. Hyde, and I was like, oh, that is the fucking, okay, he, you know, like, it does not really, like, complicate him in an interesting way, but, like...
I like Explosion Dracula more.
Explosion Dracula, yeah, I do not know if in that, in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, he becomes an Explosion Dracula. I sort of imagine he does not, but, you can continue calling him an Explosion Dracula, for sure.
Okay.
I guess this is, like, a, like I mentioned the soundtrack briefly. I this is, like, one thing I, like, do like about the movie, is that, like, I think the soundtrack is really fun. It is, you know, like... like it is Toshio Masuda who like does like the main show's soundtrack, but I feel like he like winds up like really like diverging in like tone. Like there's a bunch of like pieces in this that like feel like really of a piece with like the JRPGs of the era, like kind of in keeping with the sort of like, you know, vaguely steampunky like night shit that is going on. I think it is like just fun to see him like bring like such a different character to like the music here. Like occasionally there are bits where like some of like the more classic like Naruto like motifs like blend into that. I think it's like some really fun stuff. You know, the movie is not great, but like, you know, some of that music is pretty good.
Oh my god. And like in the night culture and like their different like their different chakra traditions, they can still have people with like fucking, oh my god, the word just escapes me. The ones that you're born with, the bloodline techniques.
The Kekkei-Genkai?
Yeah. There can still be Kekkei-Genkai, right? And like you even still like eyeball ones, but they call it the evil eye.
Yeah.
Sorry.
God. No, like sorry, like that's fine. Like I'm thinking about this again now too, and I'm thinking about like how weird is just established into the whole fucking wider world of people who are just like complete fucking sitting ducks if like anybody in the ninja world decides to like expand out that direction,
right? Like
these people have like the fucking like the like super special like fucking like Galal magic shit, and they're still getting like chumped out because like they do not know what like a substitution jutsu is.
Yeah. Right. And like We are to believe that these like steampunk fucking like Galel having fucking fucking tube ogres were like just stomping everybody they came across until they got here, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the impression I get.
Right, because like if you are going after like regular fantasy like man at arms, the big fucking tube ogres are kind of fucking wreck house.
Yeah, they're very good at, like, shrugging off, like, a sword hitting them.
Yeah. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah. Anyway, do you want to move on, wrap this stuff up?
Yeah, let's get this fucking over with.
Okay.
Naruto gets his ass kicked by Explosion Dracula while Temujin struggles to get back onto his feet. Explosion Dracula shrugs off a Rasengan, so Naruto tells Temujin to give him a hand. Temujin grabs the crystal that was in the ferret's mouth and uses it to clear the way and also help Naruto make a special Galel-infused Rasengan that explodes Explosion Dracula. The mine is crumbling now, and probably it will explode. But also, there is a big magic circle that will create a black hole that will suck up the mine and save everyone but the one who activates the circle. Temujin stays behind to activate the circle, but Naruto saves him anyway. And the mine's gone now. With all the bad steampunk people dead now, Temujin takes the big ship with all the X-Tube children to go and help people or whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, Naruto is trying to fight Hayato, right? He is like, we have, like, our big, like Norio Matsumoto action scene. There are, like, a few other scenes he has in here that are, like, a little, like a little less fight-focused. But, like, you know, fundamentally it's cool to see Norio Matsumoto drawing Naruto characters. I feel like this one winds up, like, evoking a lot of, like, other Norio Matsumoto Naruto scenes, like, to its detriment. Just in the sense of, like, you know, the way this fight is, like, set up is, like, it is not nearly so inventive or, like, particular about, like, the way all the clones are used. It's, like, you know, an Atsushi Wakabayashi episode. You know, it does not have the, like, CG camera work we got, like, in the fucking Naruto and Gaara fight that, like, really, like, fucking, like, justifies the usage of, like, having this big, like, CG environment. It looks cool, but, like, I feel like it winds up kind of, like, falling short a lot of Norio Matsumoto's work on, like, the like, TV series where he's, like, collaborating with people who are, like, you know, a lot more directly, like, invested in, like, the source material, right? Like, I think a definite sign of, like, how fucking checked out I was at this point is, like, when we go, like, in the middle of the Norio Matsumoto scene from, like, Naruto, he's, like, trying to fight this guy, and we, like, cut over to Temujin being, like, sad and being, like, oh no, was that guy actually mean to me the whole time? What do I do? I was like, can we fucking not do this right now? Can you just play some, can you stop playing this fucking sad music? Can you play some fucking cool pump-up tunes and, like, why, let me watch Naruto attack this guy some more? I don't fucking give a shit.
Yeah, literally.
just not, like, a place you, like, you know, not a reaction you want to inspire from your movie, necessarily, in what is, like, I guess maybe, like, the emotional, like, climax of it, right? Just, it gets hard to care at a certain point in here, you know? Like, I feel like that is reflected in the way our discussion has gone and the way your, like, summaries are written. It just, like,
it's just fucking enough, right? Like,
it's just enough, right? Like, and, you know, Temujin eventually gets up. They do the special Rasengan together. It's just, like, not really, like, all that cool. There's, like, so many, like, kind of, like, awkward, stiff-looking cuts of, like, Naruto and Temujin, like, running across the room, like, setting up the special Rasengan together, where, like, the camera is, like, so, like, cut in, so, like, we do not have, like, a sense of, like, how they are moving through the, like, very, like, restrictively defined, like, environment that they are in. And then Naruto, like, jumps up and he fucking hits him with Rasengan, and then he explodes and then he dies, and I look at the, like, how much time is left in the movie, and I, like, feel despair. There are, like, 10 more minutes somehow.
Yeah.
10 more minutes and nobody's even gonna do, like, a cool fight or anything.
Literally.
You know, when Hayato is defeated, he, like, goes back and he, like, slams into, like, some, like, device that, like, previously, like, rose up out of, like, fucking clipped through the floor and, like, rose up out of the ground. And it, like, fucking shatters, and, like, all the pieces just kind of, like, vaguely drift off into the corners of the screen because there's just not, like, a great sense of what to do with the fucking, like, CG here. And then, like, it like, makes the fucking, like, big, like, vein of Galal go, like, about to explode, so Temujin needs to, like, fucking walk into the center and, like, fucking go into, like, a big, like, portal or whatever to make it so that, like, the world doesn't explode. And he has to fucking, like, bravely walk off and, like, you know, knock Naruto out, so he does this alone, but then Naruto, like, saves him, and it's like, okay, I don't know, like, I feel like I should have something to say about this, because this is the fucking climax of the movie, but, like,
No, like, he, like, literally he goes on to sacrifice himself, but he's okay, actually, and the movie's over?
Yeah, yeah. Naruto, like, has, like, a vision of seeing fucking Sasuke for, like, to, like, no real end.
Yeah, God. Okay, like,
I was watching this for the first time, like in call with Maria. Like Maria wasn't also watching it. I was just like, you know, we were just kind of doing our own thing. It's parallel play, wife stuff. And just like I burst out in the middle of watching it, like, why is Sasuke here?
Yeah, because it's just not like. I guess then it's just like, oh, right, like, fucking Temujin is, like, the fake Sasuke of this movie, and, like, Naruto, like, remembers Sasuke, and he's like, oh, I do not want my, like, new friend that I'm never going to speak to again to, like, go the same way that Sasuke does. I do not want him to, like, leave forever by dying. I want him to, like, leave forever by, like, fucking off out of the movie and, like, going back to, like, his homeland. You know, he is departing on his, like, big shit back to his home, and, like, fucking everybody's talking about, like, yeah, he is going back to his, like, war-torn home to, like, try and make there stop being any wars over there with his, like, bunch of, like, children who are in tubes. And everyone's like, well, that is just the life he has to live now. And it feels like a really vague place to leave this character in. Like, it feels like probably he is just going to go and get killed somewhere, probably.
Yeah.
Because, like, he has not at any point, like, developed a vision of what that looks like under fucking, like, Haido's tutelage, because that is just, like, a whole thing of, you know, I mean, we talked about that guy, right? There's no, like, I do not know what I'm supposed to, like, expect that this guy is going to go off and do.
No idea.
But we never have to worry about it again, so.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it.
If he goes and dies futilely with a bunch of other children, then, like, we won't have to see it. Naruto is bravely waving him off as he goes, and the movie's over, and we can fucking go home. I wish they did, like, at least could at least go with a bang, like, doing fucking global warming on purpose again.
If only we could be so lucky.
Yeah, I think that is it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the podcast.
That's the podcast, that was the movie.
Yep. What are we watching next week?
So yeah, next week, because of, like, the like, slightly awkward, like, length of, next week, because, like, the length of, like, this whole, like, anime original section, like, does not quite line up with the, like, you know, the doing three episodes a week thing. We are going to be covering, like, two episodes, and then the week after that we're going to be covering another two episodes, and that's going to, like, get us through, like, a specific four-episode arc. Like, we are going to stop worrying about, like, making the arcs line up, because, like, that is just too much effort at a certain point. Like, sometimes you just want to keep doing three episodes a week and let that be the rhythm, but, like, you know, just to make sure we don't, like, have to, like, just to make sure we like, you know, have that sorted out, we can just, like, ride through until, like, the end of, like, this first stretch of, like, you know, the original run of Naruto. I think, you know, that's how we're going to do it. Just be like, this also, like, coincided with, like, a time where I was like, you know, I would not mind having, like, a slightly lighter workload for the podcast for the next few days or the next few weeks. So, like, did I actually say what the number of the episodes at all? Or
no, you didn't.
Okay, so next week we are watching episodes 148 and 149 of Naruto.
Nice.
Yeah,
and if you can't wait, you can check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/KonohaCrush, all one word, Konoha Crush. There, for just $3 a month, you get access to episodes up to a week early, and for $5, you get access to our bonus show, Narukai Uzumaki, where we cover, like, isekai and isekai-adjacent stuff. This upcoming episode is going to be about Grimgar. So look forward to that. While we're still on the Patreon, I want to offer a very special thanks to our Joining Tier patrons, Izzy, Maple, the only ninja with a gun, and friend of the show, Rife. Check out their streams at twitch.tv/subspaceskater. All one word, subspace, skater. We have a Twitter, where any images we talk about during the show can be seen. That is twitter.com/subspaceskater.
No, it is not.
No, it is not. That is twitter.com/KonohaCrush. All one word, Konoha Crush. Sorry, I've been smoking a little bit today. We have a Tumblr now too, KonohaCrushCast.tumblr.com. I stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/GuinevereTeef.
Yeah, and I stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/verdictvelvet.
Yeah. You know, in which we each play our games, we hang out on each other's streams a lot. You know, if you like the dynamic between us, you should check out both of our Twitch channels. Because obviously, we're around for each other's shit, like, basically all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I think that basically covers everything.
All right, hey, thanks for listening. And remember, there is no such thing as filler.